All right, we're going to start off today by reading Jonah 1. I have Steve Bakunas and the Cliff, the legend. Is it Shearer? Is that how you say your last name?
It's like if it's a person who shares.
Shearer.
There you go.
Shearer. I've said Shearer for the last 20 months.
Well, you know, we can. That's a whole other podcast, the history of my name and whatever. But
what are your roots? I'm very curious.
The roots are that we were, unfortunately, shearers of lambs and wool.
Wow. That went deep really quick.
Yeah. But but anyway, so you know, probably the more Americanized name that we choose to prefer is Shearer.
Shearer. Okay. Yes. Shearer. I love that. That is interesting. Okay. Steve is going to read Jonah chapter 1. And we're pushing Steve out of his comfort zone today. And I have I've never been more excited about something than this moment right here, Steve. All right, let's read it.
You want me to go?
Let's do it.
All right, let's go. Chapter 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to flee the Lord. When the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up, all the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell asleep in a deep sleep. The captain went to him, "How can you sleep? Get up and call to your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" And he answered, "I am Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" For they knew that he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that this is my fault, that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did the best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die from taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah, threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights.
Wow. Cliff, would you mind praying for us?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we are so humbled and we're thankful for the Word of God. God, you speak to us. You have provided your Word specifically today. We thank you for the Word of Jonah, for how it can impact us. And Father, I just pray through our discussion that we would glean the truths of your word and just be able to give insight and thought of what that means for us today. What is our Nineveh? What is our Joppa? What is our Tarshish? Father, I pray that as we look at Jonah, that you would reveal truth in our lives. Because that is a purpose of your word, to allow us to build a closer relationship with you through which we can glorify you. We thank you. We praise you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We have been saying these five things before opening the Word of God, and I think it would be really helpful for us to read those. And basically, this is a prayer that you can pray as you open the Word for whoever's listening to this. And it's, Lord, please give me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Lord, please reveal something that I've never seen about you today. And then, Lord, please correct any lies that I believe about you, others, and myself. Direct my steps according to your word. Kill my pride. Fill me with your love and send me to do your will. This last couple weeks, we've been studying, getting ready for this Jonah series. And, you know, the categories that we talked about were four categories. And this is that kind of summarizes the book of Jonah, but also I think what we all would agree on today is it summarizes different places in our life as well. Number one, running from God. Number two is running to God. Number three, running with God. And then number four, running against God. So as we opened up Jonah this last Sunday, what was one of the biggest takeaways for you guys? I know that, and really it can be anywhere from beginning to end of that story. What was one of the bigger takeaways for y'all?
So I'll start. I thought it was really poignant when you mentioned that there's always a boat going the opposite direction of following God.
Yes.
And I think in today's culture, there is so much information that's bombarding us, that's leading us in multiple paths. And here's the thing, to me, it might be tangent to God, so that it's very, we think we're going towards God, but we're just heading, it's like we're just going to miss the target. And that's what the devil's looking for us to do. Can I just get him off that path just enough?
Wow.
You know, does it have to be 100% opposite? Especially for those of us that are in the church and we have a history of being in the church, being brought up in the church, and so just pushing us just to the left or just to the right from where that target is, fooling us in thinking that we're doing okay.
Wow. Yeah, that what the 1 degree principle, have you ever heard that about? Like if you were to travel, it's like whatever the number would be, 200 or 300 miles, and if you're off 1 degree, yeah. When I don't know anything about flying planes, but I've heard this. Steve, you're smiling. Have you ever heard of this?
No, I have.
And it's like you could end up in an entire different country. State, yeah, or country,
yeah,
or
completely.
And it's so interesting that you said that, because it's not the big drastic. It's like if you're living in complete disobedience, you're aware, right? I mean, for the most part, you're aware.
Yeah.
But it's the 1 degree. It's the little compromise, the little thing that gets you off track. And I think that's a really interesting perspective. It's really good. What about you, Steve?
Well, I think for me, the thing that jumps off the page is in the very first sentence, where it says the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Jonah's a prophet. And I think the three of us in this room right here would probably react a little bit differently than we saw in Jonah's behavior if God was directly talking to us and telling us to do something.
Absolutely.
We probably have reacted completely different. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And so what did he do? What precipitated from that conversation? I'm not quite confident that Jonah was listening to God. I think he was hearing God. And it just it underscores what happens throughout the text in this chapter as well as the following chapters, where lack of obedience is disobedience. And we just see that cycle play out in his life. And I think about how that plays into us today when we fool ourselves that simply because we're not listening to God, that's really not disobedience. We're just not paying attention. We seem to overlook that fact, and we fail to realize that our disobedience is not just affecting us, but it's the collateral damage that happens to those around us. That regardless of what it is, whatever sin we're participating in, it's disobedience, and it's not just affecting us. That is affecting everyone in, at least in our inner circle.
It's really good. You said there's a difference in listening and hearing.
Absolutely.
Would you say that y'all have any parenting experience where you were talking to your children, and what's the difference in your kids hearing you and your kids listening to you?
So I'm gonna break out the generational thing here. It's pretty easy. Yeah, and I've heard this, and I think maybe you have said this from the pulpit. Eye contact is very important.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm going to put a caveat on that. In this generation, and this is a personal example, I have a wonderful son who, and I have a wonderful grandson. And my grandson can be doing something, playing with Legos, and he can be have something up on the TV, whatever, probably monster trucks riding in who knows what, and I can tell him something or ask him something, and it to me it appears as though he has no idea. He is not listening. He is not focused. But then 5 minutes later, when we're doing something different, he will come back and repeat exactly what I say.
Wow.
So I think immediate listening is one thing. When the eyes are there and we see that person and we know we have their attention. But if I'm honest, in today's generation, with so many things coming at us, sometimes maybe it's a delayed listening because it's like the brain hears it, but then it's almost like we have to process it or something. Mm-hmm. I'm not real sure.
Yeah.
Because to me, it was always more of a one-on-one thing. And I know for myself personally, if I'm focused on one thing and my wife says something, I don't hear her. And I'm probably in trouble.
This is your confession time.
Exactly. You know, so I know myself that I have to, put this down and focus on that other. But I think we're living in a generation, in a time where there are multiple things happening. And so from a God perspective, maybe it's kind of working through those things to understand, what am I hearing? And to me, that brings up, I had a question for you guys. When Steve was talking, he was like, that first verse, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. So many people today say, I don't hear from God.
Right.
So what are practically, today, what are practical things that maybe somebody who doesn't think that they hear from God, what could we tell them? You know, you might just not be listening in the right way.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, I've said it jokingly from the pulpit a few times, but whoever just listened to the first 4 minutes of the podcast, you heard from God this morning. Not Steve. Steve isn't God, but he did read God's word. Yeah. And I always say, it's like if you say, I can't hear from God, it's like read God's word out loud and just listen to yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just, you know, I would say, yes, I do think that sometimes it's difficult to understand where God's leading. But for me specifically, I think I just felt personally, I fell in love with the Word of God when I got saved. And I was like, I cannot believe that this is from the Lord to for us to learn about Him and learn about ourselves. And so I would just encourage, if somebody's struggling from, you know, not, they feel like they cannot hear from God, to read the Word of God. And even what we prayed at the beginning, like, God, would you open my eyes to see something new about you? Would you correct any lies that I believe about myself, you, or other people? Would you direct my steps according to your word? Mm-hmm. Kill my flesh, fill me with your spirit, and lead me to do what you have for me. I think those are like just very practical things. Steve, do you have something with that?
Yeah, I just want to comment on what Cliff was talking about, because I think it's a universal situation with your mm-hmm. grandson. Mm-hmm. Same with my grandson. Same with my kids. You know, you just, when you don't think they're really listening to you, they are, because they repeat back exactly what you said. But I think what is so stunning about this particular narrative, if we read down just a few more sentences, is that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and just a couple sentences down the road here, what does he do? He goes and lays down below deck and fell into a deep sleep. This guy's not listening. He's mm-hmm. not listening. You know, I think about how would that fly? We're all three married men here. How would that fly if your wife is wanting to have a meaningful conversation with you, and you're acknowledging by shaking your head, but you're only hearing, you're not listening, and then when she's through, you go over to the couch and lay down and go to sleep. Probably not going to be received pretty well, right? That's exactly what he's doing. He is completely devoid of the fact of what's really transpiring here. He's not listening. He's hearing. I think he's hearing.
It's good.
But I think that particular verse just kind of puts a exclamation point on where he is.
And so if I could summarize, kind of, I think what you guys are telling me, and I think you're, from my perspective, you're spot on, is one, if we want to hear from God, there are certain specific things that people could do to better position themselves to hear that word.
Mm-hmm.
One, they can read the word.
Yes.
Two, they can pray that God would give them a word.
Yeah.
And then three, kind of from Steve's perspective, that you have to be open and willing to listen. Mm. It might not be, in the case of Jonah, the word you want to hear.
Wow.
And so you can't dismiss that because it's something you don't want to hear.
Mm.
And then I would throw in something else, is that I've seen that God works through our circumstances. And so people that we have around us, that's why we in New Life want to push community so much,
mm-hmm.
is because through those conversations, we may be getting a word of God. Because to me, as I kind of view it from above, a lot of things people think are coincidence are nudges of God's voice.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You
totally
know,
agree.
Because you can, you know, we were at All Staff yesterday. The words that you preached on Sunday, the things that I've heard my wife talk about that she's wanting to lead women towards in the fall, there's a commonality through all of mm-hmm. that. Right now, to me, for New Life Church, it's the very first thing you said, Seth, which is read the Word of God.
Yes.
And it's like he continually comes back through. It's like it's a whisper within the currents mm-hmm. of the church. Read the Word of God.
I'd love to get y'all's wisdom on this. So I've been walking with the Lord for right around 12 years, and it feels like it has gone by really fast. And there's been seasons where I've been super devoted, very diligent in the Word, and then there's been seasons where I'm not, and I'm wrestling, you know, even as a pastor, confession time, to, you know, it's like, man, when I'm studying for a sermon, it's like, it's so hard for me to not just read the word and think about what to give the church or what to give other people. But I wrestle with, for me, like, God, what is this for me? What does this mean for me? What do you want to say to me? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to lead my home and my family? I'm learning that the best sermons come out of the overflow of that, you know?
Absolutely.
But I would be lying if I said that there's been seasons that I just ace it all the time, because that's not the case at all. Sometimes my personal devotion suffers where maybe my message prep, you know, quote unquote, is excellent. And it's like, and I've been talking a lot with Kendra, it's like I just feel like that stride, and the word that kept coming to mind when y'all were talking is posture. I feel like this season and this summer specifically, my posture has changed back to a position of, God, I desperately need you. Like, I don't want anything else. All I want is to hear from you. And it's the posture thing. I think what y'all were saying, it's the posture. My wife says all the time, if I don't have your eyes, I don't have your ears.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to multitask, but I'm not really good at it.
Yeah.
And so she'll say, look at me. And I'm like, and, you know, I'm like a little kid. I just look, it's like I can't. And so I'll make eye contact with her, and she's like, I need you. And she, like, talks slowly because I need mm-hmm. that, you know, because my brain doesn't work as fast. And so she's like, just very clearly telling me, it's usually a list of to-dos, right, of what she needs me to do or whatever. But I think when it comes to God, obviously we can't make eye contact, right? But I do think it is a posture issue. It's like when you're trying to read and you're trying to spend time with the Lord, what is your posture? And anyways, the question I want to ask y'all is, when it comes to your personal devotion to God, what would y'all encourage the listener in on how to spend undistracted time with the Lord?
Cliff, I think you touched on a lot of the vital components of the ability to listen. But I think there's maybe one more that, and this may answer your question here, Seth. And it's still, it's included, at least implied in the first sentence here. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. He's probably alone.
Wow.
Okay. Now, how often do we talk about that in the church, about having dedicated time alone with the Lord?
Yes.
When you have all these other distractions around you, a TV or whatever it is, you're not focused.
Mm.
You're only hearing.
Mm.
You're not listening. So although the text doesn't explicitly state that, I think it's at least implied here.
What do y'all think he was doing? Y'all think he was getting ready for swimming lessons to be in the ocean? Like, what do y'all think he was doing when the word came to him?
You know, you mentioned that his work began before.
Yeah. Second Kings.
Yeah, Second Kings.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think he was... I'm not exactly sure. We were talking about this in group this morning.
That's a great question.
Is like he had money to pay the fare.
Right.
And he's a prophet.
Right.
So like as a prophet in this generation, was like he a modern day influencer? Like, where's he getting his money from?
He was on TikTok. He had a big social media following.
I mean, I'm just saying he was a prophet, but like, you know, other ones we know, like, oh, this guy, you know, like, you know, whatever, Paul was a tent maker, you know, he's an outdoorsman, I guess, or whatever. Mm. So we don't even know what Jonah was doing, but he was doing something.
Mm.
And I don't know if it was like Steve said, that was he, you know, maybe he was headed to morning prayers. I mean, he probably had a habit, you know. And to answer your question from my perspective, is I think there's two things. Habit fits into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes we have to have habits, and they're not always, sometimes we do them strictly because of habit.
Mm.
So yeah. Sometimes you're going to read the word or you're going to spend time with God and you're going to be distracted.
Yeah.
You have something looming over you. you start in January and you make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to spend 30 minutes a day in the Word of God. And then immediately, probably after the first week, something urgent comes within your life. And,
right.
And you're like, whoa, okay, I'll cut this short and I'll come back and do 5 minutes later. I don't know. But that's going to happen.
Right.
And I think throughout my life, at this point, I'm coming to an understanding that God just wants to be with us.
Yes.
It's and here's the thing. You know this from your kids. They want to dominate your time, but they will take whatever they can get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they will take whatever they can get. And this will be personal again. I saw you at the end of service on Sunday. And you were twirling the pole with your daughter.
Yeah.
And it brought back these visions of me, not a pastor, but a coach. So I spend a whole evening coaching a football game. And, you know, that can get intense. And I'm trying to win. I'm a competitive person. But at the end of that time, as I'm walking off the field, my kids, not much older than the ones you had, would come running across the field.
Mm.
And they just wanted to see their dad.
Wow.
And the score, whether we won or lost, was
so
gone.
True. Yeah, it's so good, man.
It was so gone. And so think of God's perspective.
It's really good.
If we were just coming across that field, if we just wanted to meet with him, maybe it's only 5 minutes.
Mm.
Maybe it's on the drive to work.
Mm.
But if we will just commit to having that habit somewhere, we can, all of us can find a time somewhere in our day. And I've been, you know, packed when I was working, busy, everything. But, okay, maybe you set the alarm 5 minutes earlier. So you can steal 5 minutes just to say, God, help my day go well.
Mm.
Help me. Or, you know, one of the greatest things that I've revolutionized really in a lot of ways was your statements of that you got from, I can't remember, kill me.
Yeah, from fill Aaron.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Aaron. Kill me, fill me, send me.
Yes.
That's a pretty simple prayer.
Yeah, it's so good. Too.
1 minute.
Yeah,
it's, you know, good. kill my pride, God, because we're all filled with it.
Yeah,
and that's probably what keeps you, in a sense, sometimes from that sermon prep of what can I tell the church? What kind of impact can
right.
I have?
Yeah.
You know, kill that, and let it become you filling me.
So
fill
good.
Me.
Yes.
And then what do you have for me today, God? What do you have for me today? What might be happening today?
Mm.
You know, asking that this morning, man, I didn't know this was going to happen. And what an awesome experience just to be able to sit and talk about the Word of God. And who knows who's going to hear it?
Yeah.
Planting the seed. Again, so often in our generation, we're looking for the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
When we gotta plant the seeds,
yeah.
and let it grow, just let it grow. Mm. God takes care of that.
Something that Pastor Rick says, and the first time he said it, I was like, not really sure. You know how sometimes someone will start a statement, and you're like, I'm not sure where this one's going. Most of my sermons, y'all are thinking that, right? I don't know where Seth's going with this, but I'll give him a chance. Pastor Rick said one time, he started this statement off with, God doesn't want to be number one in your life. And he paused, and I'm like, where is this going, right? And he says he doesn't just want the first part of your day. He doesn't just want the first part of your finances. He doesn't just want the first part of your attention. He wants to be right smack dab in the middle of everything that you do. And, you know, something interesting, I was thinking about it earlier, is I think sometimes, like, we try to do our hobbies. Like, I mean, think of the, let's think practical. Like, what, Steve, what do you do for fun? What are some of your hobbies?
I like to metal detect.
Metal detect.
Yeah.
What else?
Fish and hunt.
Fish and hunt.
Yep.
And he makes very good beef jerky, by the way.
It was antelope.
Is that not beef?
That's antelope.
Okay. I just got rebuked.
You just changed your
mind. I just got rebuked. Well, so is it antelope jerky?
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Was it good?
It was delicious. Okay, my wife ate the majority of it. So next time I have to hide it. Okay. But so in those hobbies, I'm learning more and more that God wants to be right in the middle of those moments too. Mm-hmm. And I just think if we can make space to see, like I do this on my drive to the church. I did it this morning. It was pitch black. It's like 4:45. We had men's Bible study this morning. And I'm just like, God, would you just reveal yourself today to me? And there was nothing spectacular that happened on my drive, but I just always want to have this posture of like every place I'm. So I'm weird. I don't listen to music when I drive. Do y'all listen to music when you drive?
Yeah, absolutely.
Occasionally, yeah. Sometimes.
People will get in my car. Yeah. When I was a student pastor, students, like our high school students, would think I was the weirdest guy ever because they'd get in the car and it was complete silence. And they're like, can we listen to something? And I was like, no, we drive. This is how I drive. And they're like, it's like they're geeking out, you know. It's like I don't know what to do with silence, but I think that there's something to be said about that.
Yes,
silence. So, anyways,
yeah.
You know what came to mind with respect to your question, and you touched on it just a little bit, but when Aaron came and spoke, and his wife, you'll remember that he talked about. He put it in a context I'd really never considered before. And it was the liturgical order of your day.
Mm. Yes.
And what's the first thing on that liturgical order? It's time alone with God. And how important that is to kickstart your day.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just thought that was a magnificent way to characterize that. Because I've really never thought about my life as a liturgical order. That's something that happens at church, you know. But when you apply it that way, it made a major impact on me.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so Aaron, if you're listening, thank you.
Yeah. I'll tell him you said that, Steve. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to ask you guys a question, and we'll kind of close up with this. So in the ESV, when you look at the direction geographically that he was going, Jonah, but then ultimately you look at. You look at where his life was headed, and we kind of painted the picture, kind of a play on words, where it said that Jonah went down to Joppa. He went, he got down into the boat, down beneath the deck. He went down into the water, down into the belly of a well, this week we're talking about how he was. I don't know if he was down on his knees in the belly of the well, but I'm assuming he was in a posture of prayer. So that'll be this Sunday. But, you know, we talked about sin causes your life to go down and downhill fast. And if you guys had to give some wisdom to the listener before we pray, just about sin, like avoiding and fleeing from sin and not fleeing from God, choosing what we flee from to avoid our life going downhill fast. What would you guys say just from your life experience and walking with the Lord?
I think it's a timing thing. Because, okay, let me put it in perspective of Jonah. He headed down to Joppa. He could have turned around then. He headed down to the port. He could have turned around then.
Wow.
He got on the boat. Paid the fare. He could have said, too much money. You know, so there were multiple times that he had an opportunity to turn around. And
yeah,
he willfully just kept going.
It was several decisions.
Several decisions. Heed the first pain of conviction.
Mm.
Too often as Christians, we kind of bypass that first conviction. Like, it's not that bad. No, it's just, come on. It's not that bad of a sin, or it's not, whatever. And you've mentioned this probably before teaching, and it's been a thing that's come up through some of our studies. The mind mm-hmm. is where it starts.
Mm.
The thought.
Yeah.
And so how do we control the thought? The only way that I've had a modicum of a success goes right along with what Steve was saying with that liturgical approach to your day.
Yes.
Saturate your mind with the Word of God. You start the day off thinking Christ-like. That's the only way you're going to get better thinking Christ-like in the middle of the day. And if you can think Christ-like in the middle of the day, that's going to help you later in the day.
Yes.
And so it's a matter of just trying to saturate the mind. And then when you get that one thought off, or, for this generation, that one bad scroll, that thing that comes through your feed that you know shouldn't be there.
Right.
And here's something that maybe this generation realizes more than mine is that if you pause on that, you're about to get way more because of that algorithm.
Mm.
So get away from it.
Yeah.
And God doesn't have a problem with us fleeing from sin.
Mm.
Be that. Don't go to that establishment that causes you weakness.
That phrase, it's like, don't put yourself in a place of personal weakness and expect the presence of God to show up. He can, fully, but
yeah.
The verse that you're, I pulled up James 1, 13 through 15, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. And then after, this is the thought, this is that pattern, after the desire, after the thought, because it starts between our ears, right?
Yep.
After it has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, it gives birth to death. I think that is such a good perspective of the pattern. It's like, there's all these moments that he could have turned around, but he kept going down. And I think, man, that is so practical. Steve, what about you?
Yeah, I completely agree with all of that. For me, I think it's a fairly short answer. Own it.
Mm.
Just own it.
Wow.
It's, regardless of the influence that I may receive from those around me to involve myself in sin, I'm the one that's responsible if I make that choice.
Yeah.
I own it. And we see how well that didn't work out in the garden, okay?
Yep.
You remember what Adam said to God, right? The woman you gave me, she made me do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, he's deflecting. He's not owning it.
Mm.
And that didn't work out too well.
Well, and I think the perspective of that, we got a great picture of that with Seth on Sunday when he's on the stage hiding himself from God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, really? But so often we're doing it. We think we're hiding. We think we're hiding.
Mm.
That desire, that thought, that action yep. from God. And we're in the middle of a of the living room on our knees with our hands over our eyes. That's what it's like to God.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Or we're laying down in the bottom of the boat asleep.
Exactly, yeah. So if you guys out there that are listening, if you didn't watch the sermon, go back and watch that, because Seth is kneeling on the stage, just like his daughter, and it's a great visual.
Yeah, and that I love the reference to Genesis, and I think that what you said, Steve, you pick me up and throw me. Who is responsible for this? And he says, pick me up and throw me into the sea, which we learned that was not a moment of being selfless, but it was more selfish. He did not know a fish would be there. It was more of he was like, hey, just kill me. Like, this is my fault. Kill me. So he did take ownership, but there was a moment of some selfishness in there, I think. But he says it's gonna be calm, and then this is the part where he owns it. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. And I said, man, I got some feedback from this part right here. We've posted some clips online and got some feedback as well. The five words that could change your life. And it was, it's my fault. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And there were some people who did not like that, because that this is the question I got hammered with, was, well, what if it none of that is my fault? And it's like, I understand that. But none of this is my fault. And it's this posture of, I've done no wrong. And yeah, there's situations where people are victims and not the person who did something. But I think that this posture here, you can't go wrong with a posture of trying. And I always tell leaders this, pastors this especially, find the 1% that you could have done different. I'm not speaking specifically about sin. I'm speaking about relationships and you know, that type of thing. But it's find the thing that you could have done better and just own it. I lead every confrontational meeting with what even if I know I was 100% in the right, I find 1% that I could have done better, and I lead with that, because I just think humility, it softens the blow for everything. And I think this posture in our life, I love that. Just own it. So don't put yourself in a place of vulnerability. Own it when you do drop the ball. And is there anything else before we pray that y'all would say?
Well, I wanted to reinforce a little bit of what you said on that. It's so interesting that Jonah takes responsibility for it. And then somebody says, oh, you shouldn't say you're sorry. Here's the thing. Was at this point, was Jonah sorry for his attitude? I don't think so. We don't get that until you're going to tell us about that this coming Sunday.
Yeah,
he's not sorry. He owns the fact that he created the issue in the boat.
Yeah, the storm, yeah.
And he's sorry for the issue in the boat. He's sorry for what's happened to those guys.
Mm.
So, okay, I'm right in a some situation. I might be fully right, but if it's created tension, if it's created ill will, if it's created difficulty, I can be sorry for that.
Mm.
I can be sorry for the situation that was created because of it, whether I'm in the right or the wrong.
Yeah.
That's probably that 1% you're talking about.
Yeah.
Somehow we created a bad situation, so I want to be sorry for that. And I agree with you exactly. Any meeting that I would go into, if this was a tense meeting and you knew it was not a positive setting, man, I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for how things have come across, for things that were miscommunicated, for words that were said that created emotions that were difficult.
That's good.
And so I'm very sorry for that. And we want to get on a better understanding. And in a way, that's the same thing we need to take to God. You know, most of the time, yes, we are in the wrong. But whatever we've created that's pulled us away from God, we need to be sorry for that. And then we need to seek ways that God can help us change those things.
It's really good. I love that. The we'll end with this thought. We closed the sermon on Sunday with the thought. It was more of a statement, but this is not a story about a man that relentlessly runs from God, but this is a story about a God that relentlessly runs after man.
That's
and,
good.
You know, that grace, man,
so
like
good.
I've always wrestled with the fact that grace showed up as a giant fish. And I always say, you know, this is a modern day Uber to come pick him up and take him where he's supposed to go. But that grace, you know, man, just anybody who's listening to this right now and you're just struggling with receiving grace, maybe you know exactly what the thing is that you went back to that you said you would never go back to, and you're now ashamed that you did go back to it. Man, God's grace is for you. I just want to speak Amen. That over whoever's listening, that God can pick you up. It may not be in the form of a whale or a giant fish, but man, his grace will consume you if you would just let it. And Amen. So I'm going to have Steve pray for us, and then we're going to close this down. I hope you guys have enjoyed this.
Father God, we just thank you for this time together. Made me a little uncomfortable, but it's all good, Lord, because it's all for you. It's all about you. And so I think the things that we need to take away from this discussion, Lord, is that we all sin. We all are disobedient, and we need help with that. We need to obey. When we hear your voice, we need to obey. And as this story unfolds in the book of Jonah, we see the consequences associated with that disobedience. And I know the three of us here don't want to be in that same boat. We want to do what you say when you say to do it. So just give us the strength to do that. And all of our humanity and all that we deal with in life, just allow us to move in concert with you in the same direction, because you are a good God and you want nothing but good things for your children. And we praise you for that, Lord. So let us be good listeners, Lord, that we will hear your voice. Sometimes you're very clear, it's very clear to us that you're speaking to us, but other times it's just a whisper. So just allow us to hear. Give us time to be alone each and every day, that we would dedicate that time to you. And we don't always have to do all the talking, Lord. I would encourage those hearing this message today that they would be good listeners, because you want to speak to us. You want us to hear you, Lord. So I thank you for these two men here today. Thank you for everything you've done for this church. God, you're just doing amazing things here, and we are so grateful for your presence in our lives. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.